Let's stop that party in your ear holes.
Any improv actors here? Good. I used to live next door to this improv group, and they were so annoying, like, you know, and which is whatever. It's like, because they'd always rehearse super loud in the apartment next to us. And I remember, like, it'd be like 2 or 3 in the morning, and it got worse because they got like a karaoke machine. So they had a microphone and speakers. And my wife was like, oh my God, they're still practicing. You could totally hear them. They'd be like, give us a suggestion. Give us a suggestion. And we'd be like, shut the fuck up. Thank you. That's another new joke. Thank you. These are disjointed new jokes. It has nothing to do with anything else. Any questions, my friend? Okay, we're going to move on then. All right. With an inquisitive look. It's Halloween. Are we in the Halloween spirit? Are we doing that? Going to the pumpkin patches and stuff with our dates and kids and stuff like that? I love the corn maze. That's my favorite part, you know. First of all, the whole thing is exciting. Once you have kids, it's exciting, you know. You're like, yeah, we're going to the pumpkin patch. We're going to do it. You get your hot cocoa and your sweater and you're playing Michael Jackson's Thriller on the way there. Yeah. Got the AC blowing. Ooh, it's Halloween. Spooky. It was the monster mash. Then you get out of the car and it's like 95 degrees. For 10 minutes, you're arguing with each other. You're just like, pick a pumpkin. I don't give a shit. They all look the same. I'm getting sunburned. Hurry up. I'm already half orange. Just go. I'm not a pumpkin, sir. I'm a person. Hello. I like doing the corn maze. That's fun, right? You know the corn. You guys ever do a corn maze? I never did one until I was a grown up, man. And it's a trip. I remember the first one. We went to a really big one. Where was it? It was in, it used to be Northridge or something like that, that college out there, but it's not there anymore. What is it? CSUN?
Pierce.
So we went, was it that one we went to? Whatever, we went to one of them. We went to like a couple of them, but the one that we went was really, it was incredible. It was pretty expensive. It was like $20 per person and then like $5 for a child. I know, it's like, so you're already spending like $45-$50, right? I remember we walked in and we followed this little trail of hay. And about 5 minutes later, we walked out. And we were like, that's it? We just blew $50. That was bullshit. So we went back to like the headquarters, and we're like, that wasn't very scary. Like, the guy goes, oh, you must have went right. You need to go left. We're like, well, how long will that take? Do you have about 90 minutes? No. We don't. But we did it anyways. And honestly, it was kind of fun, but back when I had a stroller, so my wife was like pushing the stroller over dirt clods and was getting pissed off at me. And she's like,
you're an asshole, Darren. What do you, God.
And I was like, realized it dawned on me, like, we're actually paying to get lost. Right? It'd be easier just to like take your car to the Beverly Center and hand your keys to some stranger. Do me a favor, park my car, don't tell me where it's at. Just leave it on this level. I don't want to. I think a corn maze would be a great place to break up with a girl. You just go online, you Google the map of where it's at. Oh, I can make two lefts, I go right, I go straight, it's like the cheat codes. You walk in, you know, Sandra, I was thinking, see ya! Just texting your friends, he's an asshole! I'm at a corn maze, no, it's not amazing! I'm lost. I'm so confused. Are you still there? Do I still have your ear? Oh, shucks. He just left me. I can't even find the cornhole. This is corny.
Everybody listen to Darren Carter.
Oh, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. We are back. Back, 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 back. We are back. There we go. Okay, cool. I turned everything off. Yes, I did. Yes. Little stand-up sample for you. Little stand-up sample. If you want to see more of that, more of my comedy, go to YouTube. Check out Darren Carter channel on YouTube, and you will see all the greatest hits, all the good stuff I like to put up, and that was like a little workout room, but I like to still kind of give you like guys like a peek behind the curtain before it's all polished and full of a sold out show. And that's what you get for being a member of the Pocket Party podcast family right here. Let's do some dates out the gate. October 4th, this Thursday, I'll be at Veterans Memorial Hall in Solvang, California. If you know anybody in that area, Lompoc, Buellton, the Santa Ynez Valley, even Santa Barbara, let them know. I'll be at the Veterans Memorial Hall October 4th. October 19th and 20th, I'll be at the Dead Crow in North Carolina. Oh, let me back up. This week, I will be at the Long Beach Laugh Factory. I'll be there a few times. I'll be there on Wednesday. I'll be there on Friday. I'll be there on Sunday. Laugh Factory in Long Beach. Wow, wow, yeah, yeah, the LBC. November 8th, 9th, and 10th, catch me in Reno. All the dates are on DarrenCarter.com. I actually put up the dates on my schedule. I need to do more of that. But I need to make that a habit. DarrenCarter.com. Go to where it says shows, and you can see where to buy the tickets. I don't know who's going to be listening to this. It's near Solvang, but yes, that's the one I'm really trying to push. Fresno, Clovis, I'm going home, yes, for the holidays. If you're there near Thanksgiving or in Thanksgiving, I'm sorry, the day after Thanksgiving, if you're anywhere near Fresno, Clovis, I'll be at DeChico's. Get your tickets, DarrenCarter.com. I got the ticket link up. And December 14th, 15th, 16th, see me in Sacramento at Tommy T's. Tommy T's in Rancho Cordova, which is Sacramento. Big shout out to all the good supporters from Instagram. We got Valerie Von Skulls 52. We got I'm Here 3362. On iTunes, we got Rems. We got Fast and Furious George. We got Choice 661. Princess Crystal. We have Francis Cronin. Soulless Ginger 27. Those are all the people that gave me good reviews on iTunes recently. We got to get those ratings up and the reviews up. Guys, take 2 minutes. Go to iTunes. I swear to you, it takes no longer than 2 minutes. Search Pocket Party Podcast. 5 ratings. You just click 5 stars and you leave a little cool review. And the reason that is because it makes us higher up on the charts. And what happens is it gets more eyeballs and ear holes on the Pocket Party, so we can, get more sponsors besides the beautiful Thai Room. The Thai Room in Burbank, California, 821 North Hollywood Way. If you're ever in Burbank, go to the Thai Room. I'll tell you what, guys, if you go to the Thai Room, tweet me a picture of you being there and I'll retweet it and give you a shout out. That'll be awesome. We should make like an appearance there, right? We should do like a meet and greet. Come down to the Thai Room. Let's do that. If I get enough, I'll tell you what, if we get more than 5 people, we'll do that. More than 5, we'll do it. We'll pick a time in December. Go down there like on a weekend, that'd be good, right? Like a Saturday or something, or a Sunday. No, they're closed on Sunday. Saturday during the day. We'll go there. We'll have some Thai iced tea, some Thai coffee, get some noodles, Burbank right there. Everybody that shows up, I'll give them a copy of one of my CDs. That'd be awesome. That'd be good. Good idea, right? Let me know what you guys want to do. We can all communicate together on Facebook on the Pocket Party Podcast Forum. I call it the Pocket Party Podcast Forum, and just ask to join. We'll accept you, and that's where we can all congregate and hang out and talk about stuff related to the podcast. And as you know, I like to find the positive side of life, so leave all that negativity at the door. Go elsewhere with that. Stick to Twitter or whatever you're going to do. I don't think anybody listening to this podcast is really into the negative side of life, so... I had a friend this week that talked to me and he said he was depressed. Now, we're not talking clinical depression. We're just talking, you get the blues. You just feel like things are unorganized and cluttered and, you feel like you're out of control in your life. And he goes, what can I do? Now, I'm no expert, but here's a few things that I've found that I can do. Number one, you got to get moving. You got to get moving. You got to get out there and walk, get your heart rate up, get moving, get some sweat going. Clean the clutter. If you have, it's true. Like if your bed is messy, make your bed. My son said something cute. He made the bed. He goes, look, Dad, my bed is, it looks like some kind of fancy butler did it in a big mansion. And he's right. I mean, it was like immaculate. You didn't see any sheet poking out from underneath or nothing. Organize your desk or your books or whatever it is you have to organize, your bed. That's one thing that you can do. For me, I everything's organized in my world. In my world, everything's organized. I know exactly where everything is, so I'm good to go. But some people, I'm telling you, you go there and you're like, dude, nothing is organized. And once you clean, you just organize some stuff, See, you know, and also I have to admit, my wife does a big part of it. I mean, she's great at that. The closet, you know, the shirts are organized. Like, here's the blue shirts, here's the brown shirts, she's got it down. She's good. What else can you do for mild, like, you know, the depression, the blues? Call a friend, call a relative, somebody that you know, like, it's free, man. You just give a phone call, you talk to somebody, and don't you feel better afterwards? Also, I think taking a nice long shower with some music, get some music going. Favorite kind of music, something that can either take you back or get you pumped, something like that. That will help you immensely. Also, I read a book cover years ago. It said, what do you say when you talk to yourself? So try not to do negative self-talk. You know, we all tend to do that, unless you can break that habit. One time, I'll never forget, I was trying to do something and learn something, and I couldn't do it. I was like, I suck. And I remember this girl, she goes, don't say that about my friend. And I'm like, no, I was saying I was like, oh, I'm stupid, or whatever. It was something negative. And she's like, don't say that about my friend. And I'm like, no, I didn't say it about your friend. I said it about me. And then she paused and she goes, that's what I mean. Don't say that about my friend. And I'm like, oh, that's good. That's that negative self-talk that we do to ourselves. Don't do it. Don't do the negative self-talk, in other words, you know. So I had a really good weekend. I went up to big shout out to Turlock, California. If you've ever been up the, it's kind of nice to leave LA and take the 99 up north. You take the 5 to the 99 and you just go through all those little farm towns. I love it out there. You see all the trees and the railroad tracks and the 18-wheelers, and you pull over. But I will say this, don't you ever look at some of the people in a small town like that and you're like, damn, some towns need a dress code. Because you're seeing, like, yeah, you're still seeing people rock mullets, fanny packs, crazy shorts, Crocs. Like, what the hell, man? You know? Yeah, so there, I did a show. It was really cool. At Turlock at the fairgrounds. Big shout out to my cousin Jacob. Jacob, he's hilarious. I get off the exit and I go to Jimmy John's. I don't really go to Jimmy John's sandwich place too much. They don't have one near me, but when I'm on the road, I'll try to find one, and it's like a good little healthy choice. And it was hilarious because I called him. He lives in Turlock. And I go, hey, it's kind of sketchy. And he goes, oh, the exit you took is kind of sketchy. You know, that's the sketchy part of town. And then I go to the hotel. Hotel was nice, but it's a little, you know, a couple guys, you know, hanging around a truck as you pull up, and they're smoking. And then you go up, and it's one of those, like, motor lodge types. It was a Best Western, but it's like a motor lodge type where you park your car, take some outdoor stairs, and you check, you know what I mean? You're outdoors as you're opening your door. Some other dude had his shirt off, and he was, like, smoking weed, like, three doors down. And so I told my cousin, I'm like, dude, what's up with that? And he's, oh, man, he goes, I hate to tell you, but that's another sketchy part of town. He goes, but it's a really good town up here. So then we go to the fairgrounds to go do the show, and a train broke down, so we had to go about what seemed like a mile out of our way because you could not cross the tracks until finally we could cross the tracks. And then, you know, we crossed the tracks, and then there was two liquor stores and then two dudes, like, just covered with, like, scribble-looking tattoos, you know, just face, neck, arms, just like, I go, dude, this place looks kind of sketchy over here. He's, oh, man, this is like, the sketchy part of town. I go, you keep saying that about the whole thing. And he goes, no, but it's just, these are like little pockets of sketch, you know. And then I swear to you, I'm not even kidding, like about four blocks later, I saw this immaculate building on the left with like palm trees and just a gorgeous. I go, oh, that looks nice. As we get closer, come to find out it was the police station. So the nicest building in town that I saw was the police station, at least over there. And I take that back. There were some other nice areas, but that. Well, there was one street that I saw, an outdoor cafe and a family having dinner. I'm like, okay, that looks pretty good. But, and I think it's really nice over there by the college, the Stanislaus College or whatever. But it was just kind of funny. I mean, listen, man, my hometown of Fresno, if you're going to drive by it on the 99, you're seeing like the back end or like, you know, you're not seeing the best part of town. But why would there be a freeway? You know what I mean? It's not like you're taking the you know, the 5 right through Beverly Hills. Oh, I love Beverly Hills, you know, so there you go. But that was like a little story I just wanted to share with you. I did the road. I love it. I love it in small doses. There's something about being by yourself, listening to podcasts, listening to music. If you want to make a phone call, you can. If you want to pull over and use the restroom, you can do that. You're not like stuck on an airplane for 6 hours. I pulled over in a town called McFarland, which is near Bakersfield, and I used the restroom, washed my hands, and they had like this pink liquid soap that smelled really bad. It was the first time I've ever had soap that smelled bad. I was like, what the hell? It smelled really chemically. Like, it didn't smell pretty, if that's a, you know what I mean, if that's the way to use it. But so I literally got back in my car and drove up to the next exit and went to like a McDonald's where I'm like, okay, they got standard good smelling soap. And I was right. So it's kind of funny too, when you go in these small towns, like you'll see like powdered soap, like that white powdered soap, or maybe that was cocaine. No, it was white powdered soap. Or you'll see like I remember when I was in Milwaukee, not even that long ago, you go to dry your hands and they didn't have paper towels. They didn't have an air dryer. You know what they had? That cloth thing that goes around and around. And you're like, that's gross. I'm just going to use my pants. Here's a helpful hint for you guys. If you ever need to dry your hands, dry it on your jeans, below your knees, down by your calves, because nobody looks down there. So it'll dry your hands off and nobody will know. Like, you don't want to dry it on your thighs because everyone's like, what happened to you? You're like, oh, I leaned up against the counter and got wet. Yeah, sure, right, yeah. So that's what I like to do. We have a great guest this week. Oh, by the way, if you've listened to previous episodes, tell me which ones you really like, and I'll rebook those guests. Oh, I put up 3 videos last week on YouTube, so go to the Darren Carter YouTube channel, and you'll see some videos I put up. And I want to do a shout out to the Yo 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 podcast, to Martin Moreno and Hooter Moreno. Those guys are really cool, man. We did a 2-hour podcast. We went, as Joey Diaz says, we went deep. Kick that mule, Lee. Yeah, it was great, man. We went through like a 2-hour podcast. They got a great, great podcast, man. I love, I just listen, when on the road trip, I listened to the Yo 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 podcast with Rick. I listened to Rick Ramos episodes. Those are pretty funny. Rick Ramos is a great comic. If you guys know him, he's got a great podcast about movies called Watch This. So last week, episode number 24, we had the great Mike Black. I really like talking to Mike. That guy's got a million great stories. He's so good. He called in, so the audio wasn't like I like it, but I'm sure your ears got used to it. Before that, episode 23, great Gary Cannon does audience warm-up for Conan O'Brien. Has some more killer funny stories. Episode 22 with Frank Cronin, When Irish Eyes Are Smiling. And he's from Ireland, and that dude like lived in a tent for 8 months. He goes on these crazy adventures. He owned a couple of businesses in Mexico, went to jail in Mexico, lost his businesses. I mean, he's got great stories. Oh, and then episode 21, I know a dude that thought he hatched a plan. Hey, let's be strippers and make money. And he did it for about 3 months and didn't make enough money. That's hilarious, though. He walks us through what it was like to, because everyone that's done push-ups longer than a month is like, what would it be like if I had a million screaming women at me, you know, and I could make money off this, you know? So it's funny, I had him, and then I also had Dean Larratt. You guys know Dr. Dean Larratt, who's now a chiropractor. But I guess Dean Larratt, he was a stripper for the Chippendales in the 80s in New York. So they were making bank back then. So the other guy was like, yeah, I felt like a AAA ball league. I didn't make anything really. Yeah. Oh, you got to listen to, if you want some inspiration, listen to episode number 20. Brian Swinehart. Swine time. He's a Matthew McConaughey body double. And he talks, you know, tells all these great stories about being on set with Matthew McConaughey and Paul Walker, etc. If you got some time, listen to episode 19. Go deep on cocaine, abusive dads, crazy wild stuff, meeting, you know, trying to find that love on Bumble or whatever. Living the, whatever. Just go through the catalog on a Pocket Party podcast. I know you'll hear some great episodes, things you like. Like I said, tell me what you like, and we'll try to do more of that. We'll try to do more of that. Anyways, let's get into it. You guys rock. Pocket Party podcast, 5 stars on iTunes. Tell everybody, share the link. If you go to Twitter, it's the pinned tweet, and all you gotta do is hit retweet and just spread. I used to have a bunch of red hair, and before I shaved it, and I'd be like, spread the red. So get out there and spread the podcast. You guys rock. See you soon.
Pocket Party.
And we're back with Flip Schultz.
What?
Oh, yeah. Man, I got so many compliments after our last podcast that I was like, I could not wait to get you back.
And, oh, man, that's cool.
And it was a breakthrough. As you know,
it was one of the first ones you did, right?
Yes. I was going to say, anything you're learning or anything you're doing, there's like a learning curve. And the first few episodes, I would just do it on my phone, or I would have people call in, like Gilbert Esquivel. Great stories about performing in prisons. And, I mean, great content. I love his stories. But I wanted to make the quality of the podcast a little bit better. And so, you know, you were the first one. I want to say, yeah, you were the first one, right? Like, where I was like, okay, let's meet. I got the mics now.
I'm already impressed.
Cords.
You're making eye contact.
I'm eye contact. Yes. For the people who remember last time, I was nervous. I was like, I had my
looking
eyes
down, and
had my eyes shut. I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna goof up. I just know it. You know,
like the Jim Morrison of podcast.
That's right, brother.
Got to
face
the audience,
on the
man.
Podcast. It's funny. My son Austin, by the way, he listens to every episode of the podcast. He loves when you're on. And he goes, are you guys gonna talk about '80s stuff again? And I was like, yeah, probably. He goes, you guys should probably talk also about the '90s. Like, okay.
Yeah, the 90s is nothing. It's 80s.
80s.
That's where it was at, kiddo.
We're going to take it back to the old school, to the 70s, which I do like, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Me too. So I was actually listening, because I have XM. It's funny, I have XM Sirius radio in my car, and I have literally hundreds and hundreds of stations, and all I generally listen to are just 80s and 90s. That's it.
That's funny. What do I listen to on the radio? Mainly, my number one channel now at this point is the Bruce Springsteen channel, channel
cool.
20.
Yeah, yeah.
I love Bruce Springsteen. It used to be, I still do, but I used to always just get in my car and leave Elvis on in the background.
Oh, like, well, you
channel
love 19. Elvis, yeah, yeah.
I love Elvis, and I love the stories, and I like the little interviews they would do, and they would play, like, concerts, and I still do. And it's good, like, if you want to, like, not be distracted by the radio, you know, just something that's like you said, a comfort level.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, totally.
The music's in the background, but now I would do the Bruce thing, and then sometimes if I want to switch it up, I'll put it on, like, you know, metal, like channel 38, mm-hmm. the Bone Zone, or what's it called again? The
Bone Zone, that's a totally different channel. That's something.
Strip club music.
Coming to the main stage.
Oh, yeah, you know, where's Cinnamon Buns?
Did you just say cinnamon?
Yeah.
That's so funny. I'm doing this bit now. About you know Alex Jones? You know
yes.
Alex Jones
yeah,
is
yeah,
like the
yeah.
conspiracy theory guy?
Yeah.
I realized I could do a really good Alex Jones impression. And I say that,
so here's the problem. The liberal media. The liberal media's out there, and they're trying. They're trying.
And I say he sounds like Rush Limbaugh if he worked as a DJ at a strip club.
Coming to the stage right now. Yeah. She's got real. Can
I curse? I forget.
Yeah, sure.
She got. She got really big boobies. Big boobies. But the liberal media, what they don't want you to know, are those boobies. They are not filled with silicone. They are not filled with saline. They are filled with the tears of immigrant Korean children. So please welcome to the main stage, Cinnamon, everybody.
And I say Cinnamon.
Cinnamon.
So, is that like the normal comedy strip club name to
you know,
go to?
I don't know because let's do some research, shall we? Let's stop the podcast. Hey, honey, I'll tell my wife. No, we didn't meet at Western Bagel to do a podcast. We had to go hit some strip clubs for one of.
We had to go to the Landing Strip.
We were researching some jokes for Flip's Act.
It was for me.
Can you imagine we walk in there? Excuse me. Did you want a table dance? No, I just want to know your name, the name of your stage name, and also, do you guys fill out W-9s here? How does that work? Like, what is the strip club world like?
That'd be an interesting podcast.
Oh, that would be. Maybe I should do that.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, I don't want
to call it a podcast.
A podcast, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'll go to like. I don't want to go to a strip club because the music's so loud. So what I should probably do is like maybe like rent a motel near a strip club. That way I can, you know what I mean? Seriously, like so. Just
I'm
have
sure
a,
your wife totally understands.
Yeah, I'll just have like a quiet room. Maybe I'll get a room that you know. Maybe I can just rent for the hour.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a few of those by strip clubs.
That's how long podcasts last, right?
Yeah.
And then you know.
You never, because like when I was younger, starting out in comedy. I was like in my early 20s when I started out, and I was very.
I like how you're being vague.
No, I was 18 my first open mic, but I wasn't until shit. I was like 22, 23 that I started.
I'm just joking because I remember when I did the Bob and Tom show, that big Bob and Tom show. Where they're we're on 185 markets.
I did it.
I think they asked me how old I was, and I was like, you know, I'm in my 30s, and they all laughed because that was like their inside joke. They go, every comedian, they'll reveal anything. Yeah, I was foster kid. I was this. I would, you know, blah, blah, blah everything. They're like, I'm an asshole. They'll say anything about themselves revealing. But then when you ask them their age, I'm over 30.
Well, somebody in L.A. might be listening. So I'm over 30, but I could play I could play young 20s.
Yeah, the closer I get to the heart of Hollywood, the younger I get.
I've already accepted that when I go out for roles, it's for the dad. Like, that's my...
I thought you were going to say for the dead. I was like, what? No, dad, like father.
What'd you think I said?
Dad, D-E-A-D.
Oh, like, dead, yeah. Well, that's just my career. Anyway. Anywho.
Yeah, so you say you accept it. Like, that's good because I accepted it. Like, actually, well, it was a little bit easier to accept when I really did become a father. I was like...
That's true.
Because, I mean, I think the happy birthday to Austin.
Happy 11 birthday,
years
Austin.
Old, 11 years old. He just had his
coolest
birthday.
Kid in the world.
Man, we love it, Austin. Thank you for listening, Austin. This is just a podcast for me and my son.
Yeah. Dadcast.
The Dadcast. No, but I remember when he, like that first month, right away, somebody booked me because I was a dad. They're like, you're a father now, right? Well, I mean, barely. Like, it counts. You're on our show. And I was like,
that's cool.
Oh, wow. I guess I am a father. Like,
man, I should have a kid to help my career then.
Get extra bookings.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know him. He's everything. He does music, comedy. He's a father. Impression, just do a little bit of everything, you know.
That's I'm a jack off all trades.
Jack off of all trades. Hey, you should do that podcast with that stripper in the hotel.
It'll help the marriage.
Yeah.
But
congratulations for being married, by the way. You guys have been married for a while now.
Just a little over 7 years.
That's
almost
awesome.
Together, almost 10. Thanks, man.
Okay, I didn't mean to interrupt. Okay,
no, it's okay. Anyways, I was going to say is when I was like I said, like 22, 23, and I started like doing. Like the a little bit of the road in South Florida and just hitting, you know, started working as like a host and whatever and working with road comics at like real clubs. I'm not sure if it still happens now, but comics back then would love to go to strip clubs after a show, would love to go. And I love that because like I said, I was an insecure guy.
Yeah.
Didn't get a lot of attention from girls normally, but when I was on stage and I came in as a comic and, I got this attention from the, you know, and of course strippers do their best to make you feel like you're getting attention. But I knew that.
Hey, my dick was at attention. Hey-o.
Hello, everybody. But were you that guy? Yeah. Did you go to strip clubs a lot? Because you never struck me as that guy.
I've went a few times, but
I mean, a few is one thing. I went daily.
No, I did not do that because I actually like the attention of real audience members, like real women. Like they would, you're so funny to me. I realized early on, like I like that. I don't want someone just showering me with attention because I'm gonna give them some money. I didn't like that. I remember one time, maybe 5 years ago. No, it was probably longer than that. Whatever, 7 years ago. I was at in Sacramento. The same time, my buddy was there. His name is. BT, I don't know if you know BT.
Oh, BT, black comic from Philadelphia?
Yeah. From Indianapolis. Actually, he's really from Tulsa, but now he lives in Indiana.
Oh, BT, of course, yes. I was thinking of a black comic named Philadelphia. Sorry, yes, they look alike. Wow. I meant they're both big guys. They're built, is what I meant. They have good, they work out. They're built guys. But yes, I know BT, and I know Philadelphia. Can we start over?
Yeah.
Because I realized just how... No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Dad. Welcome to the podcast. We've got
with your racist friend, Flip. Yeah.
That's right. No, but I know there's another black comic
named Philadelphia. And just saying BT and Philadelphia, they're both very funny guys, but they work out.
So and there's another black comic named BT also. I don't know if you knew that. Yes.
There are two black comics named BT?
Yes. Here, there's BT is the guy that I know is, well, I know both of them, but like has bald. He's bald.
Yeah,
lives in Indianapolis.
That's the BT I know.
He loves motocross. He loves Kiss. He loves rock music.
Yeah.
He's great. I love him. And then the other BT lives in LA and he's does a lot of viral videos and he's comical.
I don't think I know.
BT Kingsley. He has a last name, BT Kingsley.
No, the BT I know is just the BT. I'm sorry, continue. So you're with BT in Sacramento?
Yes. I don't remember which black guy it was. No, I'm just kidding. I'm joking.
Woo.
Shout out to all my black listeners. No, but no.
Is it getting hot in here? No, or is it just me?
It happens, right? Like when we confuse, like people confuse me all the time. Like there's another white comic that BET a lot. And his name is Gary Owens.
I know Gary.
So a lot of times people will be like, yo, man, what's up, Gary? And then, and I'm like, oh, hey, how are you? I used to like correct them. And I'm like, hey, it's more the exposure. Whatever. I'll take it.
Right.
They would confuse jokes. I like that thing you do with the Snoop Dogg. Oh, bow, wow, yeah, yeah. And they'd be like, and then tell me about your wife. And I'm like, oh, shit, it's the wrong guy. Like, but I would just be like.
You should just make shit up. Oh, my wife's a bitch, man. I hate her. Hate her.
Then Gary Owen turns on his wife. No, but I was going to tell you. So my buddy BT, he's a road dog, man. He's always out there touring and doing stuff. And he'll message me. And I'm like, I'll try to call him. And he's like, I'm sorry, I'm on a cruise ship. I can't call. But I'm like, all right, cool. And then. We were up in Sacramento and I was at one club, he was at another one, and he's like, hey, let's meet for lunch. And I'm like, cool. And I'm thinking, I want to get some Thai food or something healthy or, you know, because he works out too. So I was thinking, he's like, let's meet at Hooters. He's like, I got a world pass or whatever, like a passport to Hooters. Like, I guess you go to different Hooters and they stamp it or something. So you could be like, I've been to, 85 Hooters or whatever. I'm like, all right, cool. I'll meet you there, you know. So we meet at Hooters, me and BT, another buddy of mine. And we're just trying to have lunch. And here's what I'm saying about women showering you with attention. I felt like they were playing a game, like, hi, welcome to Hooters.
Oh, yeah.
And then we're trying to have I haven't caught up with my friend in a long time. This Hooters waitress flips the stool over.
Oh, yeah. And sits down.
And starts rocking it like she's like on a bull. She's like, like rocking it, like she's trying to like
straddling it?
Straddling it and then like is rocking around. And she's like, I'm in a competition next week. Never mind me. And it's just like attention whore. I'm like, we're trying to catch up with my friend here.
Well, Hooters is a PG strip club.
Yeah.
That's what Hooters, no offense to any women working at Hooters, but you know. You have to look a certain way to work at Hooters.
By the way, I used to do a joke one time. Actually, I did it for my earliest blog. One of my early blogs, I put a picture with it. But I go, because my friend used to work at Hooters. His name is Toogie. He was a kitchen. He worked in the kitchen.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Wow, Hooters has definitely changed your standards.
Yeah. And I remember he would give me he'd say, come by Hooters, man, and give me some food to go. And I was like, it just doesn't have the same appeal when you're eating Hooters by yourself in your apartment. Like,
yeah.
You're like, let me at least open up a Playboy magazine and these chicken wings taste a lot better now.
I used to say nobody's going to Hooters for the food. They could be serving baskets of broken glass with lemon juice. And like, can I have another one of these? This is really good.
It's
just you bring
ranch.
It back.
Yeah. So I remember when I went to that Hooters though, and then my buddy asked for salad dressing, and she's like, anything else you need on? And then you looked, everything was like $2.50 for the salad dressing.
Yeah.
It was just like,
oh yeah, they're overpricing up for the tits.
Yeah, and it wasn't like I actually was really annoyed. Maybe if I was like you said, younger by myself or whatever, older by my whatever. It was his choice to go there, but that night after the show we went to Denny's, and I liked it way better just because the waitress was probably
that's where Hooters waitresses end up when they get too old for Hooters is at Denny's.
Because it was just an older like waitress that was, I felt like, I mean, they're both trying to work for the tip, but I felt like hers was more genuine. She was like, it was funny because it was in the winter. She's like, hey, honey, I noticed you have a cough. And she's like, I got some cough drops. And I don't know, I just felt like she was nicer, I like that more than the strip club crazy.
Yeah, Hooters waitresses would never offer you a cough drop.
I know, they wouldn't, would they?
They'd offer you a Hooters calendar. This will make your cough go away. Well, I'll sign it. It'll be $87. It's wonderful.
I know.
Now, I know. It's interesting how road life changes the older you get.
Yeah.
Like, again, when I was younger, in my 20s, the road was great. I loved staying in the offshoot motels
condos
and bonding with it. And I still love bonding with comics on the road. But, after show, you have all this energy. Let's go out to a club. Let's go to a strip club. Let's go to another bar. Let's hang out with the people from the show and they'll take us out and blah, blah, blah. And now I'm just I'm going to go back to my room and, check email, watch some TV, or maybe I'll just, go to the mall and eat at the food court, and I enjoy that.
That's
weird.
Right.
I'm not sure if it's priorities that change or your energy that changes, or just I've already done that and I'm over it.
I remember when the first time I really did the road, not just a week or two, I did this college tour from the ages of 23 to about 25, 3 months at a time, and we would tour in a van, me and two other comics. And I remember a lot of times these colleges would put us up at these oddball hotels because we'd be in some small town, and I had this fantasy of I'm gonna draw every hotel I'm in. I'm not an artist, but I was I'm gonna buy a sketchbook and learn how to draw these different hotels. Now you would just take a picture and put it on Instagram, but back then I was this will be interesting, because some of the places we stayed were especially back then, the early 90s, so you got to think that those hotels have been around since the 70s, the 60s, the 50s, some of them.
Same carpeting since then.
Yeah, yeah. Back then it was exciting though, right?
I loved it.
I'd even save some stuff from back then, little bed bugs I have at home.
Those aren't bed bugs, Darren. No, I used to, you know what I still have, and I did it for years, and I think I just stopped when I realized it was kind of pointless, but whenever I stay in a motel with one of those electronic key cards, I used to save them, and I'd write on there the date that I was there and what club I was working or which city I was in.
That's a great idea.
And I literally have a box of them still.
You should put them on Instagram.
Why?
Like Throwback Thursday. I don't know. It'd be kind of interesting.
Did you say Vinteresting? Like vintage?
It'd be kind of interest.
I like I Vinteresting.
It'd
it's
be
like,
Vinteresting.
It's vintage. It's interesting and vintage.
I like that.
Vinteresting. Hashtag Vinteresting.
Vinteresting.
Vinteresting. Like it just, I got this.
Could you say flip and interesting? Would that be a word?
Flinteresting?
Yes.
It's very flinteresting. You could, with FL, you could turn almost any word into it.
Callers, call us in right now. Would you want to see hotel keys from Flip's past? The phones are not lighting up. Okay, I guess they don't want to see it.
I guess they don't want to see it.
Here I stayed at a Motel 6 in Turlock, 1997.
Oh, my God. I did that gig in Turlock.
Did you do it?
No, I'm kidding.
You're like, I did it. I did it, too, but no hotel.
You know what I was just talking to? Yeah. I was at Flappers, one of my favorite clubs, and Dennis Regan was there. Do you know Dennis?
Yeah.
Yeah, Brian Regan's brother, but a great comedian
Hilarious.
In his own right.
Yeah.
And he's also from Florida, and they started, you know, way before me. But Dennis and I had worked together at this club called Groucho's in Stuart, Florida. So we kind of knew each other, and we'd crossed paths a couple times after that. So I went to see him at Flappers a couple of weeks ago, and we just started talking about that gig and just old road gigs, and we knew a lot of the same Florida comics. And he reminded me, and the whole thing's come back, because I remember this specific card key I had to this gig in Lakeland, Florida. Mm. It was a... I think it was a Coconuts gig that Brian had also played, or excuse me, Dennis had also played. And when I brought it up, his eyes just rolled back. He goes, oh my God, that place sucked. But I remember, I featured there for the first time.
Yeah.
And we remember these war stories about the guy that ran the room. I think his dad owned the hotel and he ran the room and he hosted and he was just awful, did awful street jokes. Didn't know how to. It was in a lounge.
Do you remember
in a hotel.
Any of the street jokes? I love that era back then when these comics would go on stage and tell street jokes like the host.
I remember
the local host.
I think
would.
One of them. It was either him or the girlfriend of a headliner did a guest set, and she goes like, "If coconuts grow on coconut trees, what grows on a something like if coconuts grow on a coconut tree and apples grow on an apple tree, what grows on a country?"
Oh, God.
Yeah. You know,
wow. See, we had that same version on the West Coast. People would tell these jokes. Like, I remember this one guy would be like, he would be like, a guy walks into the bar and he's like, everyone on this side of the bar is an asshole. And everyone on this side of the bar is a queer. And this guy jumps up, starts running towards him. He goes, you want to fight? And the guy goes, no, I'm on the wrong side of the bar, sir. I was like, that's kind of funny.
That's kind of funny, yeah.
And then the same guy goes, he only had those kind of jokes, so he didn't have like regular like material.
Like, yeah, it's all straight.
He'd be like, hey, did you guys hear about the idiot? Or probably said a race. I think he said Pollock or something. Whatever. Guy walks in a bar with some dog shit in his hand, and he's like, look what I almost stepped in.
Yeah.
Oh, that joke made it out to the East Coast?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that probably started there and then came to the West Coast.
That joke actually was in Raising Arizona.
Was
that
it?
That Coen Brothers movie.
Oh, man, this guy's probably stealing jokes from the movies. I got to watch more movies. I'm like...
Well, yeah, that was like 88, so
yeah.
You might be a little late on that one.
Yeah, because I heard that joke probably in the early 90s somewhere in San Diego. I'll never forget.
Yeah, those straight jokes. I actually saw Dana Carvey. I went to see Dana last night at Flippers. And
another DC of comedy.
The DC, yeah.
See, I insert myself in there?
Yeah, yeah. You should.
Darren Carter. You got Dave Chappelle.
Dave Chappelle, Dana Carvey, Darren Carter. And
Drew Carey, Cook.
Look at, wow. I never realized how many DCs are in
DC Curry, DC Benny.
Wow.
Dude, that's, man, if you need to like change your initials to DC.
Holy shit. Yeah, there aren't many FSs, I think.
Oh, that's.
Wow, I never realized.
Callers, call us right now. No, you know what?
Daniel Kosh?
Daniel Kosh, Daniel Tosh. Yeah.
But anyway, Dana. And, you know, I've known Dana for a few years. I co-wrote his Netflix special with him. Sweetest guy in the world. One of the funniest guys in the world. And he did, like, a street joke in a set. And I'm in the back going, oh, man. But then he actually goes, that's a stock joke. It's not mine. I go, okay.
He's like, Flip Schultz wrote that. He's getting a credit. You're like, no, I wrote the other shit.
Yeah. No, because I hate it when comics will pass a street joke on as their own.
What was the joke? Do you remember the joke?
It was Jesus is Jesus at the Last Supper, and he goes, one of you will betray me. And Paul goes, is it me, my Lord? He goes, no, my son. And then John goes, is it me, my Lord? He goes, no, my son. And then Judas goes, is it me, my Lord? And Jesus goes, is it me, my Lord?
Yeah.
And Dana did. And it was a great joke. And he goes, that's a stock joke. It's not mine. And I'm like, oh. And it just made him respect him even more. Like, you know, he was kind of riffing in a groove. And just within the, right. the momentum of the set, that joke fit perfectly, but he didn't try to pass it on as his own.
I have a hard time remembering these stock street jokes because they're usually, don't your eyes just glaze over when, because someone drunk person usually at the end of the night and they're like stuttering
only
through
if I've heard it.
And they're like, okay, no, wait a second. And they give away the punchline, but
I'll usually beat them to the punch. They'll say, yes. Hey, can I tell you a joke? I go, only if I already know it, I can cut you off.
Yes, I love that, yeah.
And I go, it's no offense, it's just...
It's good to have them in your back pocket, I think. Just for example, I did a casino, and I was in New Mexico, and there's these three senior citizen ladies that were at the booth behind us. And the comics I was sitting with were really loud, obnoxious, and I felt really bad for the ladies behind us. So I went over there, and I said, you know, pardon me, these are my friends, are really loud, but, you know, we're comedians, we just came off stage. Oh, you're comedians! And they're pretty friendly. And they were like, tell me a joke! And of course, boom, there it is. Okay, I got like... That's what I'm saying. For a situation like that, I had like two or three jokes. I don't know if I remember them all the time, but where I could like make them laugh, you know, sweet, no cursing, just like I think one of them was, hey, did you hear about the two thieves that got caught stealing a calendar? Yeah, they each got 6 months. Just dumb shit like that, you know.
I have those. I think I've told you this one before. My favorite street clean joke about the three old guys.
No, tell me, tell me.
All right.
The listeners haven't heard it yet.
All right, I'll go real quick. Three old guys sitting around talking. One says, I tell you, fellas, I'm getting so old, I can't remember names anymore. The other day, my granddaughter came up there, I couldn't remember a name. Second one says, you're getting old. Me, I don't remember faces no more. The other day, my brother came up to me, I couldn't recognize his face. Third one says, you're getting old. Me, I remember everything. I remember names. I remember faces. Come in. I was knocking on wood. It's kind of a visual joke, but he knocks wood. I remember faces, knock wood, and then come in. And I heard, and here's and here's what I love about the joke. Not only
names,
is it,
I remember faces, come in.
And you got to do the look up, come in. And what I love about that joke is not only is it funny, not only is it clean, but the story of where I heard it is fun too. Martin Landau told that joke when he won the Oscar for Best Supporting Actor.
Wow.
He told it at the Oscars on the podium. He just told the joke.
That's awesome.
I thought that was so cool. Yeah.
That's cool.
But it's a great little fun, clean joke.
That's great. I like that one. I heard this one that made me laugh. It's so funny. One street joke reminds you of another one. Mm-hmm. Like this guy goes, yeah, my girlfriend got really mad at me because for Christmas she goes, make me something that'll make me look sexy. So I bought her a treadmill. Something like
quick
that.
Quick and to the point like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. So like that'd be a good joke. Like if you're at a diner, hey, tell me a joke. Boom, you know. Because right. There's nothing worse than that someone's like, make me laugh. You're a comedian, make me laugh. And then you try some real material and they don't laugh.
Nah. Again, if somebody ever goes, hey, you're a comedian, make me laugh. I go, pay me. It's my job.
And then
pay me. And then they usually laugh at that.
Pay me.
I go, what do you do? Oh, I'm a doctor. All right, well, examine me.
Check my prostate.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I don't know why this is like one of the only jobs where people insist that you do your job for free right then and there, you know?
Yeah, because it's one of the least respected art forms.
I think lately there's been an upswing to it. I think like a lot of, there's a lot more stand-up on TV, especially like on streaming stuff, Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, stuff like that. I think a lot more people are discovering stand-up, which also I think is a problem. Because I see, like I was talking to a buddy of mine about this, just because within the last 10 years or so, because of YouTube and, again, streaming services, stand-up has become this more viewed, I think, than ever, more seen, at least in this country, than ever, that a lot of millennials are starting to do it because they think it's, you know, they either want to emulate somebody they've seen or they think it's easy. Or a lot of millennials out here who want to be an actor, see stand-up as a stepping stone.
Yeah.
And it's becoming a lot more saturated with amateurs.
You're right. And I think with the style of comedy that the millennials are watching now, it's not funny. It's not like we sound like two old people in this bagel shop. Everyone's gone. We're like, there's no one in this. There's like one guest, that's it, or one customer. We're like... the kids today.
But it's true.
Because the millennial, like when we were growing up, like comedians I think were funny, right? Like Eddie Murphy, Richard Pryor, Steve Martin, Robin Williams. I mean, you could go on and on.
But then there's those.
And they're still funny comedians now.
But it's like I said, because I remember in the 80s when I really discovered stand-up, there was HBO. There was the occasional Showtime. Eventually MTV and VH1 caught on. but you still, you had to seek them out. You had to, if you're lucky, you'd find them on, you know, when Comedy Central initially came out, they were like almost all stand-up.
It was great.
It was
great.
Wonderful.
Back then, it was great. Like the A-list, or like they had like
exactly,
these different,
the A-list.
MTV's half-hour comedy hour. I thought that was hilarious.
VH1 stand-up spotlight. And you discover these like comics that had really honed their shit, like you know, like the Bobby Slaytons, the Dom Herreras, the John Panettes, the Diane Fords, the Kathleen Madigans, you know, Rosie O'Donnell.
By the way, let me just hit pause real quick. If you guys, he just mentioned John Panette. If you listen to, I want to say episode 23 or 24, Mike Black is a great comedian. He went on the road. He has lots of stories. If you haven't heard that episode yet, he called into the show. And he talks about opening for Andrew Dice Clay and John Panette. He's got some awesome John Panette stories.
Oh, okay. I could give you some John Panette stories.
Oh, hold that thought and then continue with the how comedy is.
Yeah, and I was just saying, like, all of these, like, comics that had spent years on the road and honing the craft, and they get a break. You know, I remember first seeing Panette on Short Attention Span Theater.
He was the overweight guy that would be like,
you go here now. You hit 4 hours with the buffet. Yeah, brilliant.
You go now.
And sweetest guy in the world. Free Willy. Like, if you don't know him, YouTube.
What's the Free Willy? Like Free Willy or something? Yeah. How's it going?
I mean, it was kind of racist. He just talked about.
He's just quoting people.
Yeah, John, the bit was about how.
Was it an all-you-can-eat Asian buffet?
All-you-can-eat Asian buffet. And I think because it was kind of a racial stereotype, but it was brilliantly hilarious about Asian people. And he said, I forgot how the bit went into the Free Willy, but they're angry because they can't pronounce Free Willy.
I remember him being. Yeah,
I want to go see Free Riri. So you want to see what? Free Riri.
You've been out for 4 hours. They just imagine just an angry restaurant manager just pissed off at some guy that probably he would north of 400 pounds.
Yeah,
I would say.
You scare my wife. You go. Just brilliant.
You go now.
That was the bit he was known for. But again, what I was saying is like those guys were brilliant, and then they'd get their shot either, like I said, on a Comedy Central, you know, clip show or a Letterman or something, and you'd see this, like, you know, this artist that had perfected this. Now, you know, you have open micers, you have these guys doing it 1-2 years, put up a clip on YouTube, maybe get lucky, have a great spot, you know, at a club, and have a killer bit. And suddenly they're headlining and these millennials think, oh, it's that easy.
And I was going to say, like the style now I see is, it's almost like if you have punchlines, then you're hack.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, fuck you. That's what comedy is.
That's what I'm saying. Well, yeah.
You know, I'm not saying that there's a formula to comedy
I'm
that it must
you,
be
yeah.
set up.
That's
punched.
Why you have to put some safety precautions as a comic, as a performer to yourself. Like, don't go in certain, for me, I won't go in certain places because, you know, you'll know, like, if you do something that they think is a joke. They'll go womp womp dad. I've heard people go dad jokes, which I don't care because I'm like a dad.
Yeah.
I don't mind if they say it like in a normal setting, but I'm not gonna go seek out like some alternative room where you're outnumbered. And then all of a sudden you go on there and you're like, hey, you know, here's
you
some
know,
jokes.
I would love to see you just drop every party starter like the Darren Carver and just go into an alternative room almost as a different character, like put on like a baseball cap
just
and like
talk with no punchlines.
Just you know, yeah, what's up? Just go up as DC, like, what's up in DC? Yo, you know, I was out. Yeah, I don't know why I'm doing a Def Jam kind of thing.
I thought that was more like a hippie type of.
Yes,
like,
I guess so. I guess,
I'm on my unicycle, man.
So,
and
yeah,
I got
man,
my man bun.
I was out. I was out at this coffee shop, yo. And what's up with baristas? Like, yo, baby, I just said I want a double venti latte with soy, and then you say. You give me like a triple venti. I'm like, yo, baby, open your fucking ears.
I was with my buddy BT. Now I don't know which one.
Yo, from DC, BT, we're out in DC, you know, checking out the AV, and I
had to go pee-pee.
I had to go pee-pee.
They're like, womp womp, dad jokes.
I had no
fuck it. All right, this guy walks into a bar. Everyone on this side of the bar is an asshole.
He's a queer.
Is a queer alternative comp. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
And again, look, like I said,
I'm on the wrong side of the bar.
I'm a millennial, man.
But you know what, though? You're right. But to your point of, like, these, they may do a video that goes viral. Now, I don't know about, here's the thing. Some of these guys are, like, they're not even comics, like strippers, or they're, like, a wrestler. Or they have a following, so the clubs know, like, oh, you put this
person
on the marquee.
And they'll draw.
Put him in a poster, boom.
Jeremy Piven.
Yeah. I did a show up north in Canada, and there was one of those type of people, you know, like celebrity, but like in between breaks at the radio station, the radio guy goes, hey, how was so-and-so? And the manager goes, he's awful. He goes, but he sold out every show, mm-hmm. and we had to add a show.
Yeah.
And he stuck around till 3 a.m. and signed an autograph on everything that people would bring him. So he goes, yeah, we're going to, of course, bring him back. How could we not?
Yeah. And that's the business yeah. that we're in right now. It's like, crazy. It's changed. Yeah. Sometimes I wish I got into, like, I was a little younger, so I got into stand-up when this new wave was happening, so I could kind of come up in it. Because I came up in the early 90s when the regular stand-up club before the internet, yeah. when all that shit was still happening. And I learned in that era. And then that wave kind of crested in the early to mid 2000s, and suddenly this new wave of
internet
YouTube
pops off
and
in
internet.
2005
yeah,
or whatever.
Exactly.
Like just YouTube,
and it's like
Twitter, Instagram, podcasting. But you know what though, man? There's this great book by Gary Vaynerchuk. Mm-hmm. I also follow him on Instagram, and he talks about like adapting. You know, like there's people that had little hardware stores, and then they didn't adapt, and then unfortunately they closed. You know, and he talks about like look at Twitter as channel 2. Look at Facebook is channel 3. Look at Instagram as channel 4. Like when radio transferred to television in the 40s, that's what the time it is now. You know, with social media, he goes, we can take charge and do it yourself now and put stuff on these different platforms. And he goes, like, for example, podcasting. People right now, they can't drive and watch visual, but they can listen. So you got truck drivers that will, you know, they'll be like, okay, I'm going to treat myself. I'm gonna listen to music for 3 hours, but then they get tired of music. And I'm going to start listening to podcasts for the next 6 hours or whatever. People that work in warehouses, they love to listen to a podcast. They're like, okay, I'm not going to listen to anything until the last 4 hours, and that will be my treat. I'll listen to a couple that are maybe an hour 15, and then I'll dive deep into like the Joe Rogan podcast or whatever.
Right.
So, I mean, it's interesting.
It is true. Like there must be adaptability. And I don't know if I've been fighting that a little bit.
Because I felt like you were early, but then you back off sometimes. It's easy to back off, right?
It's easy to get lazy. Because you know, I started
with anything. Yeah,
I started working the ships, and the ships, you know, they're fine, and the money's great, but there's not a lot of work going into. It took me a little while to get in with them, and you yeah. know, I still do my my part to keep the bookings coming, but it's got a little easier, and I've gotten a little lazier as far as like seeking work out. And I'm embarrassed to say it, I really am, because I used to be so like gung-ho and just hitting the clubs all the time and putting out content, and I've gotten really lazy over the past year. I'm embarrassed to say it. I admit this on the Pocket Podcast. The
Pocket Party Podcast.
The PPP by DC.
He's so lazy, he doesn't even look at the title of the show.
You know, here on the Party Pocket Podcast of people with penarial problems.
With Panette stories.
The Panette Potty. The Potty Party Podcast.
With the Potty
in the pocket.
Podcast.
No. I'm embarrassed that I used to have a podcast. Darren knows he
and
was
I
on it many times.
You still do. You just haven't put up an episode in a while.
It's been a long
Yours
time.
Yours is called After Dinner, right?
See, you screwed up my
Wait, cup. Don't tell me. Not After Dinner.
You're only
it's
on
called
it 20 time.
It's called What's for Dinner.
There it is.
What's for Dinner.
Which was a stupid name.
What's Looking for at, Dinner. You know what? I don't think it's a stupid name because I love the graphics of it, but it was like the initials are What's for Dinner.
WFD, which is close to yes. WTF.
Which is yeah. huge with Mark Maron, who just had Paul McCartney on.
Did he really?
Yeah, he just had Paul McCartney. I think he did. Don't quote me, but I think he did.
Okay, well, you can have Paul McCartney go.
Okay. You know what? You're right. Hold on a second. Paul, I think I see you. Hey, everybody. Flip had to step out for a second. I have Paul McCartney here.
Hey there, Darren. Good to be here, man. I was just here at the bagel shop. I wanted to get, you know, an onion bagel. I love onion bagels.
I like the everything bagel.
Oh, the everything's too much. I just like onions. You know, you put on, if you have like onions and then you have poppy seeds and you've got, you know, sesames and you've got, you know, I don't even know what else they have, but I just like an onion, you know. It helps me sit. You know, I used to have the Beatles put out a song called you know, the onion song.
I don't remember the onion song.
You know, peel me an onion, many layers, makes you cry. You know, it was a good
That's
song
good.
Then.
I
yeah.
love when you, I did the, I watched the James Corden.
You
were great on there.
Oh, thanks, man. That was fun. You know, we drove around Liverpool and I showed him all the plays. You know, I showed him Penny Lane. I showed him, you know.
Can we hear a little Penny Lane? I love it.
Penny Lane's got an onion and it's got a lot of layers and it makes you cry. You know, it's a good song, man. You know, that was fun. James Corden's a good, you know, it's a good guy.
It was great, man. When they went back to your childhood home and you
that was crazy.
This is where I would drag the comb across my head.
Grab the comb. That's right. That's why I wrote that song, you know. Dragged a comb across my head, and then I opened an onion, and it's got all the layers, and it made me cry.
I hate to bring this up. Can I? Well, no. Let's keep talking to Nice Paul, because I know if I ask a certain question, it starts to make your blood pressure go up.
It's all right, man. I just admitted we all masturbated together, and you know, when we were younger. So
that was interesting. But
that's why we called it the White Album.
Did you have that? Was that the inspiration for Come Together?
It was. You know, a lot of people think it has to do with, you know, people coming together, you know, all races. No, it was, we wanted to put
the
message.
Okay, we get the idea. Okay,
to,
so
Paul. Just sit around and have a circle jerk the whole world if we just did that together.
I get the idea.
I don't think you do, Darren.
No,
you see, what we wanted everyone to do.
Oh, we're in a bagel
do,
shop. Can you not do that here?
What we used to do with bagels, too, was easy. It just put your little thing through the hole and you come together right now. It was that's a matter of fact, that's where the cream cheese came
from. Oh, my gosh, Paul. What I was going to ask you,
because
I saw you at the Improv one night. You were great. You were, like, in the back. And
yeah.
It was awesome. You love comedy. You love stand-up.
I love comedy. I love your stuff, too.
Thank you.
You're the party starter.
That's right.
And we used to get the party started with, you know, masturbating together.
That's interesting.
Is that what you do? Is that why they called you the party?
No, not at all.
No, it's too good for that.
I don't start the party like that. That's... Yeah.
No, nobody starts it like that, but that's how it finishes.
It definitely finishes.
Clears the room.
Wow, Paul, you've been watching too much Andrew Dice Clay, it seems like.
Oh, I love Andrew Dice Clay. What's a classy fella.
What I wanted to ask you is Michael Jackson. I thought that was kind of... I love Michael Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
And I love the duets you guys did together.
Oh, yeah. We did Say, and The Girl Is Mine, and... You know, masturbating in public.
But I remember he said something about you should own the publishing rights or something.
Yeah. Right? It was bad advice I gave him. I told him years ago, like, all my money I've made is owning publishing rights. And, you know, Michael...
I'm going to do that.
He said he'd do that.
Yes,
I had no idea.
In fact, one day I'll own your publishing,
That's
Paul.
That's exactly what he did, Darren Carter. He took all the publishing.
That's right.
And, you know, made a lot of his money that way. No, the songs were mine, Michael, but he took them.
I'm sorry, but it was fair and square, Paul.
It wasn't fair.
They were for sale and I purchased them.
Well, who's alive and who's dead now?
Oh, that's wrong. I'm an angel.
You know, things you did, I don't think you're in heaven there, Michael.
Oh, I'm going to leave now. You're being wrong. It's terrible. You're saying it's terrible.
Well, I've got my songs back and I've masturbated.
Well, that was weird. Michael just popped in. But
that was...
So, Well, Paul, it was great having you on the podcast.
It was great to be here, Darren.
Is it cool if I put this in the title of the podcast?
Sure. Just so you know, I'll spell my name a little differently.
Okay, yeah.
It's P-A-W-L.
Okay,
McCartney.
Cool. I want to do some, as they call it in the modern world, clickbait. So I'll put Paul McCartney, Pocket Party Podcast.
You could call it Master Clickbait, and people would know exactly what you're talking about.
Master Clickbait. Interesting. Paul,
just
you've got a lot of...
Just put parentheses, you know.
Oh, I got you. Master... Bait, but then the click. You know what, Paul? It was great to have you on here.
It was great to be had, Darren Carter. I'm going to go get me onion bagel and take it in the bathroom and do things to it like
the
old days.
Okay. Well, we'll see you later, Paul.
We'll see you later, Darren. Come in.
God, this guy, that's all he talks about is...
That was weird, man.
That was weird, dude. I didn't know he was that dirty.
I didn't either.
He's got another side to him. That was interesting. I mean, I know he's being comical, but geez Louise.
Yeah, it was amazing that he lives here in Burbank, man.
Or, you know what, though? There's a Burbank airport. Maybe he was going down Hollywood Way.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Just stopped in for a bagel.
You know, Michael. Speaking of Michael Jackson, I know he would do his... there's like a dance studio over there, like a place, and he would probably take these very exits and drive down Hollywood Way, and because it's over there by the Burbank airport.
And that's where Michael Jackson would do that?
Yeah, I saw that.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
It was interesting.
I bet.
That's... What? So let me ask you this. With coming into comedy and starting out, was this your dream? Your dream was like...
To be in a bagel shop doing a podcast? Yes. since the day I started.
When you started, though, like, did you just do? Because with me, it just kind of happened, you know. You'd write down your ideas. People invited me to do a show. I did an open mic, and then you eventually get a paid show, and then you take it to the next level. Then you start getting paid. You start paying your rent, and then the next thing you're just doing it. It wasn't really a hobby. It's just sort of a thing. Like, people go, "How did you know you were successful?" And I used to tell them, like, "Well, I guess, like, you know." What I would do is I'd be like, well, last year I had 5 roommates. Now I only have 4. Every year is getting better or whatever. You know what I mean? Like I'm able to live alone. And then, of course, you get married. Then you have another roommate and then a kid. But you know what I mean? There's like that. Like it just starts happening. And next thing you know, you turn around. You're like, damn, I've been doing this over 20 years now.
Yeah. It was, well, for me, and I think we might have discussed this before. Like I knew from a very young age I wanted to be a stand-up. The first time I did it, I was 8. So it was never a hobby to me. It was always my future.
It was your calling.
It was my calling. Yeah. And I think when we all get into this, I don't know, maybe that's a generalization, but I think most comics or a lot of comics get into this seeing, you know, their future. Cause you know, you see comics on TV, like for me, it was like Robin Williams and Howie Mandel and those like big guys. And then when I started getting more into club comics, Dom Herrera, Panette, Bobby Slayton, you strive to be that, to be like famous, to be that, you know, rich and movies and everything, and that's a big motivating factor. But over the past couple of years, I've realized that success, I am successful because, like you said, you know, I support myself in a very comfortable way doing this, and my wife for the longest time, who's now a working comic and she's incredibly funny. For a long time, I was supporting both of us just doing comedy. And, yeah, you know, you don't have the TV
show. Shout out to his wife, Amy Schumer. That'd be hilarious. It was like some mega star.
No, it's Wanda Sykes. that's a Moshe Kasher joke. I can't take credit for that. I just heard him last night say that. No, my wife, Allison Weber. AllisonComedy.com. To me, that's successful. I look at my friends who, you know, they're happy. But they have their life, and they're as happy as they might be with their family and their health and their kids. They're not doing what they want to do. Nobody, my brother, God bless him, he's brilliant. I love him to death. One of the funniest people I know. He works as a guidance counselor or head of guidance for high school, and he's good at what he does. And he's got his wife and he's got
his
kids.
Does he like it?
If he had his way, he'd be a musician. He's a fantastic musician. That's how he'd make his living.
Because I wonder about that. Every now and then, you ever have those moments where you're like, because we love what we do, blah, blah, blah. But then there's a moment of like, you know, something happens in your life where you're like, damn, I got to get a new car because my engine blew up or whatever. Those kind of moments. And you're like, wow, it would be nice just to, not really, though. I really don't want to do another like job like that. But there's that part of me that's like, just for a split second, like,
yeah,
it'd be cool to be like, okay, I'm literally going to drive, you know, I don't know how far he commutes to work, but probably not that far. He knows what his schedule is. He can make plans. Because in our business, you know, we can do that to some extent, but then, you know, like, I mean, if they give you that call and, hey, you're going to get booked at this place and this is going to happen and we need you for this, you got to kind of go, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I do that sometimes too.
I'm doing both worlds. I'm doing like the road. And I'm
in the
home life, and it's like, and I make time to do both because a friend of mine, shout out to Martin Moreno. I just did the Yo 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 podcast. He toured for many years with Gabriel Iglesias, Fluffy, and he told me, you know, because he now he's doing his own thing, and he started the podcast, very successful with it, and he's like, dude, I go, what was it like? I go, because when I know at that top level when you're doing like Gabriel, like doing those arenas and these big venues and just craziness, like it's got to be exciting. Of course, the money's awesome and the fans and blah, blah, blah. But at that top level of that, like Sebastian Maniscalco, he just sold out, to my knowledge, 3 shows at Madison Square Garden. Yeah, and crazy. They added a 4th one. I don't know if it's sold out yet. I haven't checked my Instagram. But and you wonder, like at that point, like I just saw he threw out like the first pitch, I want to say, for the Mets yesterday. I mean, just crazy. I feel like he's in a dream, and we're just living in his dream.
Yeah.
Like, we're like, whoa, another big thing. This is unbelievable. But so to do both, you know, to be able to tour and then stay home and catch moments like yesterday where I was able to play, like, air hockey with my son and do rock climbing with him and be with my wife. And, you know, we come home and we're watching South Park together as a family on the couch. It's like, I love that. And it's kind of a little bit stressful, you know, but to have the, you know what I mean, your feet in both worlds.
Yeah.
Because if you're off the road for too long, then you're like, it's going to be harder to get work.
Right.
But if you're, and your fans might move on to the next entertainer. But then if you're out there all the time, and back to when I talked to Martin Moreno, he's like, dude, when I stopped touring like that crazy hectic schedule around the world, he's like, man, I came back to L.A. and I was old, you know?
Yeah.
He probably went out there as a young man. I don't know how old, but like just go, go, go. And he comes back and he's like, damn, they're changing the guard. Like people are different at these clubs.
Yeah.
New bookers, new waitresses, new everything's new, and they don't know, and they might not remember you. And it's like, whoa. So it's like,
it,
you know.
Yeah, I mean that's I think that happens to everyone. I was just at the Improv last night with Allison and didn't really recognize a lot of people. And
that was your home for years,
that
right?
Dude, I used to live at the Hollywood Improv,
Melrose Avenue.
Every night except for Mondays, I was there either to hang or to do a spot. It was part of my daily routine. I was excited to go. I couldn't wait till 7:30 when I get in my car and drive over and just spend, you know, how many hours there just at the bar hanging.
It was great to see you, too. I remember I'd go, hey, Flip. And
That was us. That's what we did, you know?
Yeah, I remember that's when I told you my push-up trick. And you wrote a joke for me. What was the joke? I said something about, I go, dude, you got to, we were talking about fitness. And I said, you know, just try to do like, I try to make it a habit. You brush your teeth every day. Why not do push-ups every day? You know, like. You know, you do 25, then you make some coffee, then do another 25, and then, you know what I mean? Brush your teeth, whatever. And you're like, yeah, I know, I'm starting to get man boobs or something. And then I think the joke was, I was like, really, boobs? No, you go, it's crazy. I'm getting boobs every time I sit down. I'm like a creep. I'm like, have a seat. Let's see those knockers. Oh, I better not talk like that. Paul McCartney will come back.
Hey, did somebody say boobs? No problem. All right, I'll finish up in here.
Are you still working on that onion bagel, my friend?
Almost done with it.
But yeah, so that would be your home.
Yeah, that would be my home. And, you know, I'd start going on the road. And then I'm not blaming her in any sense, but when I started dating my wife and I moved in with her in the Valley, I think what I realized was the reason I went to the Improv so much is that I had nothing else going on when I was at home, you know? And then I had a girlfriend that I was living with, and suddenly it felt all right to stay at home and to just spend an evening with my girl and do nothing or watch TV or, you know, go do karaoke or something with her. And for me, if that's when my hang started to change a little more. And I think, I don't know if I'd rather be that guy or the old comic still hanging out at the clubs, you know, trying to still fit in. I don't know if it's like fit in, but like when I go to the Improv now, there are a lot of younger comics who know who I am, which is crazy to me, who I'm, you know, they give me kind of the respect. Like, you know, you're, and I can't believe I'm saying this, you're one of those, you know, older guys from the generation
before. One of our comedy veteran elders.
Yeah.
I know, it's like a trip. Like, how'd this happen?
Crazy. So in that sense, it's kind of cool showing up and kind of getting that little, you know, that respect. You know, so it is.
Dude,
is
you know what
strange.
I noticed, man, when I was at the Hollywood Improv, like the lineups are in the hallway where it's dimly lit.
Yeah.
I was like, I can barely read this shit. I need reading glasses.
I had to do that.
Have you had that happen yet?
Yeah, I had to use my phone flashlight. Who's up tonight? Who is this? Little red dinghy. Sharon Buckleboo.
Fuck these millennials.
I have no idea who these people are. Like, and Dane Cook.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Please allow... Dane Cook.
Please allow Mr. The Other DC.
The Other DC. No, I know what you're saying. You don't want to be like, you know, yeah. I'm just kidding about the fuck the millennials. But there is that thing where I'm like, I can't really read the thing.
But that's what happens, man. You get old and it's like.
But what's great about social media and podcasting in this kind of world is you can take the control back as far as like out of sight, out of mind before. But now you're like, nope, every day I'm going to be posting stuff. I'm going to be putting stuff out there and. Connecting with people.
You're a monster at that. I saw you have that one clip about, like, I think when your wife does a joke, too. It's got, like, over 90,000 views or something, dude.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Yes. That was one of those that took off, you know? I have no idea why.
Crazy, man.
Yeah. Guys, go to my YouTube channel, Darren Carter. Go to the Instagram, official Darren Carter. Oh, real quick, let me say this. If you're on Facebook, be a part of our group on there, our friend. It's called Pocket Party Podcast Forum. I don't know if that's a good name or not, but I looked at what Joe Rogan does, and his is called the Joe Rogan Experience Forum. So I'm like, yeah, screw it. I'll call mine the Forum. But yeah,
why not?
It sounds like forearm.
Yeah.
You have to have both forearms. No, but It's a community because you'll have like a your own booster club. You know what I mean? Because it's like when you don't have any, you're not doing a podcast or anything. You feel like you're out there, you know, doing your shows and that's it. But now it's like when I put this out, like, you know, I got regular people that constantly, like, you know, Lee Meyerhofer on YouTube. I got Rems on, you know, he gave me, you know what I mean? Like, these people connect with me, you know? I love it. It's like, and they'll connect with you too, you know?
I know. I need to start getting back. Remember you're inspiring me right now.
Remember
when
we did that Flip Schultz, we did the What's for Dinner podcast, and you had some fans that came out, that girl and her mom.
And her husband did
the voiceover
stuff.
They were fanatical over us.
They were great.
But for you mainly, but you know what I mean? Like, it was awesome.
Yeah, it was actually, Peter Cullen, who's a legendary voiceover artist, his daughter and her mother used to come out to our shows all the time. They were wonderful, and if they're still out there, I kind of that's the thing. I'm like so bad at that, and I apologize if they're listening. I'm so bad at like maintaining fan momentum. I'm really, like I said, I'm getting inspired. I have the same recorder. And I don't do shit with it. I have a little soundboard that I used to do on my, and I don't.
I know. I remember when I stopped my last podcast, the partner just quit and he like went on to do whatever. And I was just like, ugh. I was like, should I start over? But it's almost like a breakup where you're like, I can't just jump back in the next week. You know? So I remember I'd go on your podcast a lot and I was like, it was cool, man. Like you had your own theme song and you had things going on and listeners would come out and.
Yeah,
you know,
I gotta start doing that again. I do. Darren Carter's inspiring me right now. Look out for my new podcast. It's called the Pocket Celebration Podcast, and it's similar.
It could be. Yeah, that's the thing. You got to come up with a good name, huh? You don't know the name yet.
Yeah. What's for Dinner kind of came as a fluke. It's like the first time I tried doing it with a buddy of mine, Allison came in. And she goes, "What do you guys want for dinner?" I'm like, "That's fun. What's for dinner?" It's like, "Hey, what's cooking on your mind?" And it was such a cerebral name that nobody got. People probably thought it was a cooking podcast. So I need maybe just something as simple as the flip cast or something.
Something you'll come up with a name. Yeah. But the idea is, you know, and what I've been practicing is doing the interviews, and then what I do is I'll do like a little monologue in the beginning, you know, like maybe 15, 20 minutes, whatever, of just things that I wanted to catch people up on my week. And it's really therapeutic and fun.
Yeah. You know, I used to do that too.
Like, isn't it great? Where you're
It was. And then just introduce the episode as it comes.
Yeah. And I didn't know.
Do you listen back to your own episodes?
Yes, I do. Yes. Because I have to learn.
Does it hurt you? I couldn't listen to mine.
I know what you're saying. There's parts that I cannot, where I'm just like, I can't get the idea. But I have to listen because I got to know where to add the intro song and where to do the, you know what I mean? So I have to do that.
Yeah.
But I know what you're saying.
Yeah, because like I tried a couple times to listen to my.
Oh,
they're
by the way, we're Western Bagel in Burbank, California, and they are
shutting us down.
So we're going to have to wrap up this episode.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for letting us do this here. Oh, yeah. No, thanks, man. Do you want to be on the podcast? You want to say hi or something to the listeners? It's not live, but it will be live. Hi, tell us your name.
My name.
You can make up a fake name if you want to be anonymous. It doesn't matter. This guy works at Western Bagel. Every time I come here, he's very friendly and a hard worker, and I'm sure he would. Come say hi to him. Tell him your name.
My name's Jake.
Jake. I don't know if you are if it's true or not, but Jake, how long have you been working at Western Bagel?
Too long.
What's the? Do you ever have celebrities that come in here? And if so, do you remember who they were?
Yeah, but none that I like personally know. They're like, oh, that's so and so. I'm like, oh, cool.
Did you know Paul McCartney came in today?
Paul McCartney, cool. No.
Yeah. Do you know
what
who
group
he is?
Do you know what group Paul McCartney was in?
Can I get a hint?
Yeah.
You ever heard of The Who?
No.
Okay. Well, he wasn't in that.
No. Okay. Cool.
He was in a big band. They were very popular in the '60s and '70s.
Can I get the genre?
Yeah, rock and roll.
Rock and roll.
Okay. No, ask him another person besides Paul McCartney. Ask him another from that same band.
Do you know John Lennon?
I've heard of him.
Well, I wouldn't think you actually know him, but
the Beatles.
Yeah.
Say it again.
The Beatles.
One more time.
The Beatles.
That's right, the Beatles. Way to go, Jake.
What does he win?
He gets us to get the heck out of his store.
That's a good prize.
He's been working all day, man. He's got to get out of here. Dude, that's funny because you know what it is? It's like one time I came to Western Bagel like 10 years ago and I was writing jokes and I was going to do a joke about Johnny Carson. Do you know who Johnny Carson is?
I've heard of him.
Same thing. And it was a young person behind the counter. And we're like, I go, hey, do you know who Johnny Carson is? And they were like, yeah, I think he works here on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I was like, no, he was a big talk show host. He talked like this. This is Johnny Carson. That is wild. I am the host of The Tonight Show. But guess, how old are you, Jake?
How old do I look?
22. I'm going to go with 23.
I got to take better care of my skin.
What are you, like 18?
No. Well, not that old. But I'm not 14? That young. 14? No. Just a year off.
15. 21. 21?
21 years old? Yeah. See, yeah, you're great, man. See, at my age, everyone looks...
22, that's close.
I can never tell an age, yeah. You
know, you're I'd rather be, like, younger than older.
Well, I was...
Welcome to our world. Anyways, Jake, it was great for coming on the podcast, and you're awesome. And
we'll get the hell out of here.
Thanks for always making us feel welcome here.
Yeah.
Anytime.
Thanks, man.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you. Fist bumps all around. Cool. You can hear this episode soon. It'll be up on iTunes, probably next week, iTunes and Spotify, iHeartRadio, and every other place you listen to podcasts. Do you listen to podcasts?
Sometimes.
That's awesome.
Like, if they come on, I won't turn them off, but like, it's not like I go search for them.
That's true. Oh, that's cool. That's right. I get it, man. Well, thank you, buddy. We'll let you run. And when I close with you with Flip, we got to keep this short. Do you have any words of wisdom for our listeners? I know I like something that's inspirational, a little bit of motivational, something, because you've been on this planet for many decades, just like myself. And along the way, you come up with some good stuff.
You know what I've realized, Aaron? What I think the meaning of life is? And this isn't a joke. I think the meaning of life is experience and people, and never turn down the possibility for an amazing experience, whether it's a trip, whether it's a conversation on a plane with a stranger, because you never know. You know, don't, I know you guys are listening to a podcast either on your phone or on some kind of device. When this is over, turn it off. And just explore the real world for an hour. Take in a sunset, and don't take anything too seriously, because life really is short.
That was beautiful, man. Yeah. Flip, thanks for being on the Pocket Party Podcast.
Thanks for having me, Darren.
You're welcome, buddy.
All right. See, by the way, flipisfunny.com.
Do you have any? What's your Instagram?
At Flip Schultz. All, you can get all my social media, flipisfunny.com.
Beautiful. Thank you,
thanks,
buddy.
Man.
Cool. That was great, man. What are you going to go do now?
I'm going to see this Transformer movie.
Just, nice, dude.
Yeah, let me just text my friends.
Yay, you did it. We made it all the way through. Thank you so much for listening to the Pocket Party Podcast. That's right. Do me a favor and 5 stars on iTunes. Give a review. Tell everybody you know. And let us be a member on the Facebook group, the Pocket Party Podcast Facebook group. And let's talk. Tell me what podcast you like, what guest you like, who I could bring back, that sort of thing. Anyways, we'll see you guys next week. DarrenCarter.com. All the show dates. Go to YouTube. Check out the Darren Carter channel. And remember, don't hurt nobody and be careful.
Everybody listen to Darren Carter. We all know he's the party starter. So if you want to listen to a podcast for free, then listen to The Pocket Party Podcast.